Hey, Mike. Glad you could join us. And Cindy Thomas will be joining us just shortly as well.
If I have anything coming out on my feed that's like noisy, I have a heater going. I'm in my garage because my wife has company over tonight now.
So. Very mysterious, right?
I know, right? Very cagey with the dark.
I feel like your headlamp on. Yeah, got a couple people I'm getting texts from. They're just going to be joining us shortly here. I want to give Eric a chance to get on. Let's see, it's one of our fellow councilmen. And Cindy Thomas. Thank you, everyone, for your patience. Okay, it seems to be a technology night. Okay. Okay, I think we'll go ahead and get started here. All right, I am recording Suzanne, so we should be good. I just want to say hello. I'm Jill Love, and I want to welcome everybody to the Village of Galena Council meeting agenda on Monday, October 26th at 7 p.m. It's an online Zoom meeting. We're actually starting at 7:05. And we have a really exciting meeting tonight, so thank you everybody for joining us. Suzanne, if you could go ahead and start roll call, that would be great. Nope,
I got it.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. I see everyone here. I don't see Ruben.
Ruben will not be joining us tonight.
I didn't think so.
Yeah.
No. But I saw everybody else here, so we're good.
Okay.
And I didn't see Eric. I'm sorry. Did he pop up yet?
He is. So
okay, good.
Let me text as I'm here. I'm here. Okay, great. All right. Well, thank you so much. So everybody's had a chance to review the minutes of September 28th, and I wondered if anyone had any questions.
I did have one question.
Okay, David.
The last page refers to the next meeting and says it will be in council chambers.
Oh.
I figured that was just something that got
that was typed, yeah. I'll change that.
So I'll make a motion to approve the minutes as corrected.
All right, and a second?
I'll second.
Thanks, Todd. Second by Todd, and roll call vote, please.
Okay, Kathy?
Yes.
Eric?
He is here.
Okay.
Yeah.
David?
Yes.
Jason?
Yes.
And Todd?
Yes.
And Eric said yes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. The motion to accept the meeting notes of September 28th has been approved. Thank you very much. All right. Well, sadly, this evening we have to say goodbye to one of our own. And so that is to accept the resignation of Jason Hillier this evening. So if I can get a motion for that, that would be a start.
I'm not going to motion that one.
I know, right?
I'm not going to second the pod either, so.
I'll go ahead and make that motion if I have to.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jeff. Thanks, Todd. Thanks, Kathy. All right. Roll call vote.
Okay. We will start with David.
Regrettably, yes.
Kathy.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Eric?
Yes. Please say yes.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
All righty.
I'll abstain.
Oh. All right, Jason. Well, it's, the motion has been approved to accept your resignation. And I have this opportunity, which is a bittersweet one, to proclaim make a wonderful proclamation for Jason for his time and service for the Village of Galena. He has been incredibly dedicated, and I just want to say a few words because you know you're going to be missed, and we so appreciate you still hanging around and being around, and we just know that family has got to take some precedence right now. Everybody's moving in a lot of directions, so we just thank you so much for being part of our council family. So I just want to say a few words that Jason has been our council president and has been on council for the last approximately 3 years and was on zoning prior to that. So Jason has also served on numerous committees. He has been on the personnel, facilities, parks, and obviously our president of council, and then he's actually remaining as chairman on the NCA. So we'll still be able to use his talents on the NCA. So we greatly, greatly appreciate that. So if you all join me in making a wonderful proclamation and thanking Jason for his incredible service to the Village of Galena, we are most grateful.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you, Jason.
I appreciate working with all of you, and I'll always be around if I can be of any help.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Well, with that, we have an opportunity this evening to add another. So we will have an election of a new council member this evening. And the one thing I do want to make sure that one of our candidates is on this evening, and I haven't seen her pop on, but that is Cindy Thomas. And so I'm not seeing her on here, but she has been so kind to join us this evening. She had to actually fly for business, which is kind of unusual these days. And so her flight was delayed a little bit. I'm sure she's in a great panic, and she is trying to join us as soon as she can. So I just wanted to, I guess she is on. Fantastic. Okay. Well, Cindy, thank you. I am so glad that you're on this evening. I just didn't hear you there or see you pop up. So excellent. All right. So with that, we are, as I have mentioned in the past, is that the council had come together and worked on a document to have an application for our community so that people have an opportunity to step forward should they have the desire to work in local government. And we have been just absolutely thrilled with the candidates who have come forward. We're just so excited that people in the village want to get involved. They know what's going on. They know it's an important time of our growth. And so this evening we had four, but I have to say that we had one dropout just before the meeting because That was Bill Smith because he had put in his application, but he is on another board, and they had changed their nights. So it was going to be in conflict with our council meeting, so he felt that he couldn't give his 100% if that was the case. So I'm sure we'll see him again in the future. But with that being said, we have three wonderful, wonderful candidates. We have Kurt Holland, who's revisiting us again. We have Cindy Thomas and Mike Fry. So what I'd like to do this evening is that we will have the council members, well, first of all, we'll have the candidates talk a little bit about themselves and why they'd like to join us here at the Village, and then have council ask a few questions, and then we will do a silent vote where they'll text their candidate of choice to Suzanne, and then she will let us know who our new council member will be. So with that, I will go ahead and ask Kurt if you would like to talk a little bit tonight and share a little bit about why you'd like to be on council. Okay, is Kurt with us here? I know he was. Well, I guess we'll wait for him to jump on. And Cindy, are you available? You'll just want to unmute.
Can you hear me now?
There we go. All right.
Oh, okay. Hello. It was a frantic rush to get to this call, let me tell you. My flight ran late. But my name is Cindy Thomas. I'm the mother of five sons. My oldest son is, do you want me to tell you about my family? Will that help?
You can talk about anything that you'd like. 3 minutes.
Oh, okay. Well, I better not talk about my family because I have five children. So that'll take my whole 3 minutes. I've worked for 30 years at a law firm, Jones Day. I have very much experience on being on different committees, from work all the way through to the high school, being the parent rep for soccer. Very used to dealing with parents and people. And I don't get riled too easily. I believe there's two sides to every story, and sometimes neither solution is always the best, but one has to obviously rules, so we just, you know, it's life, right? So I'm trying to think what else I can tell you about me. I want to be on council because I love Galena, and I want to preserve Galena in certain ways, but also be a part of its growth. And with that being said, the growth where we don't lose our appeal, you know. So that's pretty much it. I think I can contribute a lot. My kids are all out of high school. My youngest is a freshman playing soccer at Tiffin, so I have free time on my hands. So, empty nester, right?
Great, yeah. How long have you lived in the Village?
Seven years. So I came from Columbus. My youngest went to Big Walnut, obviously, but my other kids all went to DeSales High School in Columbus, and my oldest son moved to Galena first, and when I came up here with them, obviously, for the move. I loved it, and it was just a matter of a couple of years before we made the transition as well. And now two of my other sons all live up here as well.
So nice.
Yeah, we love it. We love it.
Great. Council, is there anything that you would like to ask Cindy?
Cindy, David Simmons here.
Hello, Mr. Simmons.
Hi. You mentioned keeping Galena's footprint, and I wasn't clear exactly what you meant by that.
Well, it's quaint, and it's just wonderful in Galena, and I just don't want to see, I want to see growth, but not congestion. I don't want it to turn into like Columbus, you know what I mean? I want to see growth, but not massive amounts of people. I think that, you know, we have a lot of cyclists, a lot of people that use our country roads. I don't know, I love it. The quaint feel of it.
So you're not talking about a physical footprint when you say footprint?
No.
that was where I was confused, because you were talking about growth, and I thought, well, how do we do that if we maintain the footprint? But there is a dichotomy between what you say, the rural feel, and the need for and demand for more business. So can you think of specific ways? Do you have anything in mind that would make it possible to maintain the one while doing the other?
Well, I think it's just a matter of what we bring into Galena. You know, do we bring in tons and tons of apartment buildings? Do we bring in, you know, more housing? Do we bring in some more restaurants? It's a matter of what we bring in. I mean, growth's inevitable.
So what kind of guidelines would you see needing to be in place?
Well, I mean, that's something that would be decided by everybody. I mean, it just, as the matter arises, I don't know if I know exactly what guidelines today, but I just think it just needs to, the growth needs to be considered. Does that make sense? Like, I don't know if I'm making sense how I'm saying it. Guidelines, I don't know that have guidelines. I mean, it just depends on what's coming in. Like, if you say, you know, I know it's already up for development, but if you say we're going to put tons and tons of apartment buildings right around Van Valley, I would vote no for that. I would vote yes for houses, but I would vote no for apartment buildings. So, I mean, it's just a matter of preserving Galena.
Okay.
In the way that, you know. Does that help?
That gives me some ideas, sure.
Okay.
Cindy, this is Kathy Krupa. I guess I'm wondering, when you look around Galena for the amount of time that you've been involved or lived here, anything come to mind as to something that you think you would want to focus on improving if you were to become a council member?
That's great. I would want to improve probably the look of Galena, like what we've done to downtown Galena, the plants, the garden, not the garden, but the how we've snazzed up downtown Galena. I just think stuff like that would be nice.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Anyone else?
Sorry.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Cindy. I appreciate your input. And I guess we will move to Mike Fry. Let him talk a little bit. And Mike, if you'd like to share a little bit about your interest in Galena and why you'd like to be on council, that'd be great.
Sure. My name is Mike Fry. Can you hear me all right?
Yep.
Okay, great. We moved here in December of 2016. We moved from Westerville. So not exactly close to uptown, but we could walk down the path. So obviously when we came to Galena, we saw, the paths and everything, and we saw the village square. It was much smaller than Westerville, but it gave us just enough of that feel in a rural setting. And it just was pretty magical for us when we came through. I actually decided to hunt down Ron Hart, who was refurbishing this house that we ended up buying. And I just sat in the parking lot every day until I could get a hold of him. And we actually made an offer before we allowed it to get to the market. So we were very blessed to end up here. And it just has everything that we have, that we wanted, for a family with, now an 8 and an 11-year-old. Just a great place to call home. And, the other day, I was having lunch with a friend who's from Pickerington, and we were talking about how villages and how, past villages that have grown into cities have been able to maintain their history and their architectural integrity and so forth. And we were talking about the city of Powell because my wife and the kids and I, we went to Craft House 5 the other night, and we're just walking around, and it just reminded me so much of a little bit, maybe a snapshot of what we could be in the future. You had a rural setting, it's close to Dublin, so, you have two different fields, I think, in the area, but yet they've been able to maintain that village in a rural setting. And I could see us having and attracting those types of, retail boutique, restaurants and little shops and those things that would be appealing, I think, to most of the people that live here and that might want to live in that same village in a rural setting. So, and he had brought up to me how years ago, Pickerington, just their city council, he mentioned their city council enough to make me even want to apply for this position. And that's kind of what kind of urged me on. And when I found out the position, I thought it was a good time to become involved in the local politics because it's home. And he just gave me some pointers and everything about things that maybe we could do to avoid what happened with Pickerington, which is still a great place. But, a lot of the people that grew up there, they didn't get that maintaining of their atmosphere that they wanted to grow into and grow and expand more. So I think that's a very important time for us, and that's why I wanted to be involved in the village. I wanted to take some ownership and not just having a house here, but also, investing my time and to have the, wonderful opportunity possibly to serve. So that's me in the nutshell. There's lots more because I like to talk a lot, so I will warn everybody. But I'm a team player. I played at Otterbein. We had a national championship team. I worked for many years in family businesses, so I've had kind of both sides of the coin there, where I've had to work and fight it out with family members every day in the workshop, and now I'm working for a new company under Fiesel Inc. And I've been working there since May, and I have a great team. We have about 8 to 10 folks now, part and full time, in a new venture under the Fiesel umbrella, and I'm just loving it, loving life, and I think that my experiences as a as an earner, and just in any part of life, I think it could be an attribute to this council. And I believe that 2 heads are better than 1, 3 heads are better than 2, 6 are better than 3, always. So we might have to fight it out sometimes, and there might be passionate debates, but I think that common courtesy is an important thing. Every idea is important, and, compromise is key to, I think, moving us forward. With the diversity of ideas, yep, that's me.
Thanks, Mike. I appreciate that. Anybody have any questions?
I did.
Uh-huh.
Mike, David Simmons here.
Hi, Dave.
Hi. I'm sorry, I just got a text from the mayor.
Sounded like it was dinner time to me.
As you pointed out, you provided a lot more information than any of the candidates for us to mull over, which is both good and bad, because then we can think of a lot of questions to ask you and pin you down on stuff. But you place a lot of emphasis on single-family developments, mm-hmm. Single-family homes in terms of new construction.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, you've got kids that are at some point going to be getting married and may want to buy a home. A lot of other people have kids, and I'm wondering if that emphasis on single-family homes is driving a trajectory where prices for houses are going higher and higher and higher, where I'm concerned that there's not going to be homes. There is a housing shortage. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned that there's not going to be houses for families that are just getting married, starter homes, single moms with kids, that concerns me, and I just wondered if you had any thoughts on that.
Like I said, I think, if we're all being candid, I mean, with the Champion development plan, I felt like with all of the, most of the homes in that plan being available for rent, I started to go over homeowner to renter ratios. And, right now we're in the 70-30 range, 80-20. And that would have flipped under a Champion plan. And so the reason why I drive so hard at talking about single-family dwellings is not so much that every structure has to be that, but that it should be the majority of whatever comes, even if it's 51-49. There's always going to be, as I stated in my application, the reality that condos and apartments are going to be coming. But that our standards should always be the best building materials. More basements instead of slabs, if possible. Always holding the developer, who is now the visitor, we're the residents, having a high standard to meet, but not ridiculous to the point where we drive, successful developers away and scare them. That's certainly not the goal here. It's just that always striving to keep that village in a rural setting feel, while also providing people, who are looking to move into the area, the opportunity to find a place to live, but that it's a nice place, and that it's a nice place that they can continue to grow in, because there's not a lot of acreage here in the village of Galena in total. I mean, we're still a village. I mean, we're, by land size, we're smaller than some of the other villages in the suburbs of Columbus, so... there's a delicate balance there. We don't want to see home values increase so high that people can't afford to live here for small square footage homes. But at the same time, we also don't want to sacrifice that projected growth of property value, going forward by allowing developers to say, we're going to be maybe a little bit cagey about our plans, until the end. So that sort of thing. That's kind of what I was driving at.
Yeah, well, I mean, this isn't necessarily the place to have the discussion, but since you brought it up.
Yeah. Send me down, Dave. I like that.
I know of instances where young couples have gotten married and could not find a place, and they would have been great additions to the community. So
sure.
I just feel like we need to have a balance in terms of types of housing, and not just solely emphasize the single family thing.
Sure, and I agree with that. Yeah.
Okay.
Is there any other questions at all for Mike? Mike, one of the things that I noticed on the resume were, just some of the general skill sets that may transfer to the village, and I just wondered where you felt some of your strengths were.
Well, as you know me personally, I like to craft a story. So I did write a book in the last 2 years, and that book actually did very well on the International Market Awards, got a finalist in that. I believe that my ability to edit, copyright, and those things can be valuable to the village on any copy or narrative that we want to project any message to the public. I think that's something that I can add value to. And the other thing is, in my new position that I have, I constantly provide forecasts and projections on the evaluation of various investments, and I think that that's just a skill that can be applied to really anything from in politics in general, from impacts of what the culture is happening, into housing developments, just having the ability to study the data, I think is always something that's going to drive me. I believe in and bringing a team together and having the emotions put at the door as much as possible. Not to be robots, but to let data and residential or resident input, I think, in this context, has to lead the way in a lot of ways, listening to the public and then taking what we get from developers or for festivals or whatever project it may be and saying, does this work? Yes, this is what I want, but does it match with what will work? And I think that's something that drives me, and I think it drives me every day in my new position, in my new company, in my history as a humidor builder. My father was a home builder, still is, so I think that a lot of that is in me. So, yeah.
Okay, Thank you. Cindy, I'd love to ask the same question. Just what kind of skill sets do you feel that, with your experience, that you'll be bringing to the village? It's probably got you on mute again.
Can you hear me now?
I got you.
Okay. I've worked for law firms for over 30 years, and so I'm no stranger to controversy. I've worked in litigation. I've worked in labor and employment. I've worked in many different aspects, and I think those skill sets and being able to work with people. I've also have learned a lot financially with money. My oldest son is a CFP. I'm actually out here right now with him in his business in Phoenix. He has a location in Phoenix and one in Columbus. And I just think that I have the skill set of years of work with people and years of work, you know, in just different aspects of law where I'm familiar. I worked for a zoning lawyer years ago. I worked for litigation. So those are all issues that could be relevant to the village in different ways.
Okay. Excellent. All right. Is there anybody in our audience here who would like to ask either of the candidates any questions? Just like to take a couple minutes here and see if anybody has questions. Okay. All right. Well, with that, unfortunately, Kurt was not able to join us this evening, and so, Council, I would ask that you stick your votes for Cindy or for Mike into Suzanne, into, kind of like what we did last time. If you text her, and then she will let us know who our new council member is. But I want to thank both Cindy and Mike very much for your conversation and putting yourself forward. I love it. It's great. So hang tight. So hang, absolutely. Hang tight, and we'll, Council, if you can please send a text to Suzanne. The anticipation is killing me. Got a nice crowd tonight. Thank you for joining us, everyone.
We've got another week until the presidential election. We might still be tallying. You know.
Yeah, right? Glad I don't have to count.
Sorry, it took a minute for all of them to come in, and Mike Fry actually won.
Okay. Well, thank you. Well, congratulations, Mike. And again, thank you so much, Cindy.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for all your efforts in getting on the call and coming to us. Keep staying involved, and lots of opportunities for sure. We look forward to it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Cynthia, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time and your willingness to be a part of this great village. Michael, congratulations. Welcome.
All right. Well, with that being yeah, thank you. Thanks so much. All right, so with that, I have the honor to swear in our new council member. So, Mike, if you want to unmute and show your face again.
Oh, sorry. I thought you guys could hear me.
Oh, there you go. No worries. All right, so I'm going to swear you in, and so this is your oath of office. If you'd like to hold up your right hand.
All
All right, and just repeat after me. I'm Mike. Having been duly elected. Do solemnly swear. That I will support the Constitution of the United States. And the Constitution of the State of Ohio. And that I will faithfully. Honestly. And impartially.
Discharge the duties.
Of the office of council member. Of the village of Galena. State of Ohio. During my continuance in said office. Congratulations. Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
Thank you, everybody. I appreciate it.
Yes. So we will have you stop in the office tomorrow. Jeff will get you set up with email, and I'll have this oath of office for you, and we'll get you rolling.
All right. Great.
Absolutely. It's good timing, too, because actually there is a sunshine law, a virtual sunshine law meeting or time to get a certificate, and I know Ruben and Eric have both signed up for that, so your timing's perfect.
Okay, great.
And you can get in on that, too. So we'll look forward to it, and I'll spend a little time with you and kind of debrief a little bit and get you up to speed.
All right, sounds good. I'm going to need it.
So you are on tonight. So the
All
you
right.
are on. You are now a voting member this evening.
I'm honored.
Yeah. Great. Okay, so at this point, I'd like to open up for guest participation, and I am going to make just one suggestion. Dan, I saw that you are on, Dan Wendorf, and I thought maybe after meeting you today, it would be a nice opportunity for you to say hello to everybody on council.
Yeah, sure, Jill. Thank you for the opportunity, and congratulations, Mike, on recent appointment to council, and nice to meet you, rest of the council members. Look forward to meeting you further in person. My name is Dan Wendorf. I live in Galena at 5057 Cornish Court, so just outside the village. But just by way of quick introduction, been in Galena now for 12 years, married with four children in the Olentangy District. And I just really love the community, love the balance, what we have here in Galena between the unique characteristics of Galena balanced with, you know, the growth that's been taking place around us. It's really been a pleasure to live here and now work here for the past 9 months as we work from home versus commuting downtown, which I enjoy my commute much more now. So I'm currently in contract, have the honor of being in contract on a couple buildings on the square in Galena. 13 through 19 Columbus Street, and currently working through some due diligence on those two properties. And obviously, we have a diner in the one property, and then 19 Columbus Street, where the REMAX office currently is. And just really excited about the opportunity that building can have for the square relative to office. There's the second floor set up as an apartment right now. It could be office. A retail space on the first floor. Excited about you know, the long-term ownership of that building, and really ensuring that those buildings continue with the legacy of Galena and meet the needs of the residents and is in line with the spirit of the village. So excited to increase my involvement within Galena, and look forward to continuing to share with each one of you thoughts, ideas. Businesses that are going to be looking to go in there, and how we can ensure it prolongs everything that's been taking place in Galena over the years and the years to come. So, but thank you for the time.
Thanks so much, Dan. It was a pleasure meeting you today, and we're thrilled to have you as part of the village. Does anybody have any questions for Dan?
Dan, this is Captain Purchasing Council. Do you have any thoughts at this point as to what type of tenant you're looking for to fill the vacancy?
Sure. Great question, Kathy. And I've been, you know, looking at different feasibility and welcoming input from others that, you know, have seen needs for the area. You know, the second floor of the two-story white building, 19 Columbus, 1,000 square feet, I think can make a great office for people in Southern Delaware County, especially as people are going to be, you know, staying home much more so now and may not have the working from home stuff they're looking for.
In case they have little ones that like to, you know, jump join them.
Good job, good job. Unprompted. But the second floor also, I think, is set up as a great two-bedroom apartment, a full kitchen, full bath, washer, dryer. I think can make a nice residence for someone. On the first floor, I envision some type of retail, something, you know, I see the traffic the diner has, I see the traffic the vault has, with the connectivity of the bike trails, with all the families within, you know, a 15-minute bike ride or a 3-minute car ride. Between north and south, east and west, something that would drive, you know, some more foot traffic around the square, you know, some type of quick pop-in store. So I really envision the first floor being a retail-oriented consumer business that, you know, you see a lot of families coming in and out of. But I'm open, so, you know, you guys are connected very much so to the community. If you know of people that have been looking for space in the square or different ideas based on your knowledge of the area, I'm open to any and all ideas and look forward to just embracing the community.
Well, thank you and welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else either have a question for Dan or have any comments they'd like to make this evening? This is our guest participation time. Feel free to unmute yourself. Kind of going up and down, making sure I don't miss anybody. Okay. Well, great. Well, thank you. Thanks so much, Dan. Glad you could join
You're
us
welcome.
Tonight. Yeah.
My pleasure. Thank you, Dan.
At this point, Jeff, time for the administrator's report, if you'd like to.
Jill, I think we skipped an item on the agenda.
What did I skip there? I'm sorry. I'm going from guest petition to administrator's report.
Just before guest.
I'm sorry?
Just before the guest,
the president.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Oh, yes. Thank you. I've got it highlighted even. How about that? Thank you. Thanks so much, guys. I appreciate that. All right. We're going to take just a little step back here. With Jason being our previous president, we do need to fill the president of council position this evening. So, council members, I will leave that up to you.
I'd like to nominate David Simmons as president pro tempore for the remainder of this year.
Oh, I will second that.
Excellent. First by Todd, second by Kathy. Excellent. And a roll call vote, please.
Sorry about that. Let's start with Kathy.
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
And David?
I will abstain.
All right. Excellent. Well, the election or the new council president is David Simmons. And thanks, David. I appreciate you stepping up and look forward to working with you. It's always fun to have good dialogue with you. Excellent. All right. And thank you guys for the reminder. Sorry about that. I did have that highlighted of all the things on my sheet. All right. So I guess at this point, we will move over to Jeff for the administrator's report.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Great.
I can.
Yes. Okay. Thank you. All right. I'm going to skip. There's a lot of content in my report. I'm just going to hit some highlights. Arrowhead Lake Estates, the Zora Street paving has been completed from the Heathermere subdivision up to Fescue Street. And if you get any questions from people wondering why there's a barricade, because they want to be able to cut through the Arrowhead development to get up to Sunbury, it is because we don't want construction-related traffic cutting through the Heathermere subdivision. And for the next foreseeable future here, as houses are being built, there'd be all kinds of traffic potentially wanting to cut through Heathermere. So we don't want that extra wear and tear on those streets and the unnecessary traffic for those residents in Heathermere. So I wanted to make sure you all knew that. So if you hear somebody grumbling and grousing about it, you know the reason why. Okay. Wastewater treatment plant construction. We are making some headway on sorting out our chemical feed system, and then our contractor has been performing their punch list items. I've been spending a lot of time with Mark Rufner. He's our village engineer with K.E. McCartney and Associates. So for you new council members, if you see that K.E.M. in notes and minutes, that's referring to K.E. McCartney and Associates. But anyhow, I've been working with Mark on getting our application prepared for the Walnut Street culvert replacement so we can get that into the Ohio Public Works Commission. Ted Roshan is our new village maintenance crew leader, and he started on October 13th, and all is going well in that regard. Jody Mooring has started as our clerk of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and Suzanne has been helping Jody learn the procedures there. We haven't talked about B-City USA for a while. If the village wishes to maintain its B-City USA status, renewal will be due in February. And so the village council's designated liaison was Bob Mulcher. And so if we're going to keep the B-City status, we should also select which council member would serve in that capacity. And then, meanwhile, the person who's been serving as the committee chair, Lori Armbruster, is offering to complete the renewal paperwork and pay the $100 renewal fee through donations, so it won't cost the village any time or money. So this is something I want the village council to decide upon, and it can be done as a motion. And if you'd like to do that right now, that would be fine. Just need someone to make a motion.
Jeff, I'm willing to be the council representative.
Okay.
And
so guys, I saw on this is a committee. Like this is a committee, yes, a B-City USA committee.
Yeah.
That I was kind of by default put on. I don't wanna miss you know, if I'm supposed to be in a on a committee that we're not meeting. But is it possible for us to get into this a little bit before we say, hey, we don't want to do this anymore, or we do want to do this anymore? Can we discuss a little bit about whether this is something we want to do and continue to be?
No pun intended.
Yeah. Well, if you would like to have that conversation, then unless Lori is on the call this evening, we could defer this. We could table this till the November council.
Just because we have this February is the renewal, yeah?
Well, yes, we'd want to make our decision by the end of the year.
Okay. So that gives us a little bit of a timeline. So maybe if it's all right, we could set this on a shelf. Get into it a little bit over the course of the month and then come back to it next month. Would that be all right with everyone?
Yeah, well, Eric brings up a good point that we have enough new people on council that it may be a new idea to them. So it wouldn't be bad to have Lori explain the implications and that sort of thing.
All right. Well, I'll have her, I'll ask her to attend the next meeting. Also, anybody can go on to the village website. We have a whole page about B-City USA, and without getting into all the technicalities, you can get a good briefing about it there. all right. moving down to a few items. We have this utility registration and right-of-way permit program. Village Council decided last year to proceed with this program, and there have been a number of steps that have been happening this year, including there's a filing period with the Public Utilities Commission of Ohio, and that organization was tabled for a period of time due to COVID, but the process has been moving through, and so tonight we're having our first reading of the ordinance to actually establish this permit program. We have a consultant who's doing the grunt work on this on our behalf, Eric Sandine, and I believe he's on the call tonight. We can pause and ask him questions now or wait a little bit later in the agenda when we're talking about the ordinance.
Why don't we do that when we're actually considering the ordinance, Joe?
That's what I recommend.
Yeah.
CARES Act funding. We have a resolution before council tonight to accept yet another sum of money that's been allocated to the tune of $26,738.52. And before the village can spend that, we have to do the proper procedures to add that to our budget. And so we've been doing a lot on spending our previously allocated money for different improvements that will help the village interact with the public more effectively and under COVID-19 public health precautions and also some public safety measures. And let's see, I wanted to make sure the public is aware that the village received an invoice from our liability insurance carrier concerning our defense for the Durance versus Village of Galena lawsuit, and a total of $3,863 has been paid to defend this suit, and of this sum, the village's deductible that we have to pay is $2,500. And that comes out of the general fund. And so that's a few less potholes that we can afford to fill and so forth because of it's an impact on the general fund. And so the lesson that I want to make sure people are aware of is when people came to our public meetings last year and urged our elected officials to take a chance and go ahead and let us get sued. It wasn't this lawsuit, but in general, the concept of insurance will take care of whatever legal troubles we have. It's not the answer. It doesn't impact the taxpayers, and in this case, $2,500 is a lot for the village, but it could have been a lot worse in another lawsuit. A call was received at the village hall from a citizen, didn't leave their name, reporting that there is an organized political rally on Sunday, October 18th, involving many people in vehicles occupying the village square and adjacent streets, and in my experience here, an organized event, the organizer contacts and the village and gets permission from the village council. But this event was not authorized by the village council and or the village hall. And I just wanted the public to be aware of that. Anybody have a question?
Jeff, it wasn't really a rally. It was just a trailer with signs that were for the distribution. So characterizing it as a rally would not really be appropriate.
Oh, okay. I just am operating on this report.
Yeah. I was, in fact, asked if permission was needed, and I said, you know, as long as you're not doing any kind of speaking or if you're just pulling up and offering people signs if they want them, I didn't see any need to request permission, so that may be my error.
That's not my decision either, really. But it's just something that all the elected officials should be aware of.
I did have other questions, though.
Sure.
Did we ever figure out the cause of the Columbus Street sinkhole?
No, that McCoy Paving is still on tap to come and fix it. And so when they do their exploratory excavation, we hope to discover what the source of the problem is. But nonetheless, the pothole will be patched.
So we don't have anybody to ask to pay for it, in effect. We're doing it
correct.
Correct.
Yeah, we're just, as it is right now, planning to fix it within our budget. But, for example, if we excavate down there and it becomes apparent that it's, say, a leaking Delco water line, then we'll definitely be calling Delco to deal with it.
Okay.
And, Dave, I had the same topic, the same question was the sinkhole.
Yeah.
Because you could buy it constantly. Can we get a better timeline, Jeff? Because we had the same conversation last month.
I have been leaving messages at the place and haven't received a response back because I have had the same questions for them as well. But I have a signed work order with them to do it. So the guy told me back then that they will get to it.
Yeah, Jeff, did you say they're going to be in the area for something else at the same time? Is that why we... I forget.
Yes, well... I have them scheduled to also do some improvements on some of the crumbling pavement areas in that downtown area that would be easy for them to use as their crews are already mobilized there.
Okay, thanks.
But at this point, we don't have any idea of a cost. Correct, Jeff?
The pothole and the surrounding extra pavement areas total is around $8,000. I don't have the total at the top of my head. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
I feel like that could expand, though, if they get in there and they find, you know, there's more damage. That's one of those things that you don't know until you know.
Correct.
Jeff, one of the other things that I talked about, and I think we ended up getting a really nice price on it, if I recall, was the washing of the town hall building. And I know it's probably not something that we'll do until spring. Kind of only makes sense to do it in the spring. But Jeff was kind enough to look into, because the building is a special material, and you can't just power wash it. So he came across a gentleman who kind of specializes in this time of cleaning. So do you want to talk about that or just touch on a little bit and what your estimate was?
Well, this is the time of year we get quotes or estimates on a lot of things for budgeting purposes. And whether it makes it through our gauntlet of all of our other needs and wants remains to be seen. But the price was, and I don't have this one memorized either, but I'll say $750.
Okay. Yeah, it was, you know, fairly reasonable for what I thought we were going to end up getting into, so because of the specialty of it.
Well, yeah, it's basically the siding, it's aluminum siding, and the paint has become chalky, and with traditional power washing, it would probably just blast off the white, and we'd end up with a splotchy-looking building. This process that this contractor uses is more of a detergent, probably is the best way to describe it, and it's really going after more of the mildew and algae and washing away that green and black and gray colored stuff, and hopefully leaving the white still intact. And so it's risky. Of course, the building doesn't look that great, but so we have to be really cautious about how we go about this.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff, has Ted Roshan's contact info been circulated?
Oh, I don't believe I have done that.
Yeah, because times we might want to get a hold of him.
Sure, I'll be sure to do that.
And have you said anything to the sheriff about Thursday evening?
Yeah, right after last month's council meeting, I put in a request for special duty.
Okay.
And it's been posted, but I have not heard, they've not acknowledged that anybody has taken the assignment.
Oh, okay. And then have we circulated the health department guidelines? Recommendations for circulating, giving out candy.
This is on the website.
The village has not.
Is it on the website?
The only thing on our website is directing people to the County Department of Health and the State Department of Health and the Centers for Disease Control.
You think it would be a good idea to put it on the village website?
I don't know how many trick-or-treaters will bother referring to our website, but we could do that. What I've been trying to avoid is duplicating whatever the agencies that are responsible for that are putting on their website, because then what their guidelines are doing. For example, if you remember back at the beginning of COVID, there were all these conflicting guidance about face mask, no face mask. And so if we tried to duplicate that on our website, we'd be spending a lot of time trying to discern which is the most current information.
I know our homeowners association that I had looked at just before the meeting started, they were all going round and round about 100% rain, 2 inches on Thursday. So they were starting to kick around options. 2 inches of rain.
All right. Wow. Last year was miserable. Shoot. Okay. I guess it might behoove us to discuss if anybody wants to do a rain date, and we can suggest a rain date. We can get that out there, both on our website as well as, you know, Nextdoor and all the various social sites. It's a little bit late, but if there is a rain date like that, people may want to know. I know that many of the surrounding areas seems to be that trick or treat this year is a little bit all over the place. It's been on Thursday night, Saturday night, so I just thought I'd maybe bring that up if there's going to be all that rain. That would council like to consider having an alternative trick-or-treat official night for Galena? Totally up to you all.
I guess the question is how we publicize that.
Yeah. It has to be social media, our site, of course, the village site, and then Nextdoor, And since I don't have access to all the next doors, I could have some of the council people who live in various areas post it. We could make a general posting and then have people get it out there everywhere that they can. Again, just an idea. I know there's a lot of alternative activities going on Saturday night, with trunk or treats.
I don't know. It's a weird year, obviously. And maybe if it pours down rain Thursday night and not as many trick-or-treaters are out, I mean, passing around candy to each other, maybe that isn't such a bad thing. You know, just this year with the things we're worried about with, you know, passing candy to kids and then, you know, we're passing more than the candy when it comes to the COVID-19. That's the worry, and then they see their grandparents and their grandparents get sick. So it's kind of one of those things where we're doing it and we're going ahead and that's great, but I think going out of our way to make sure we do it if it rains it out, I don't know if this is the year to do that. I don't know.
I'd
rather
pass candy out in the snow.
Right. We go
those are the worst. I'd rather pass it out in rain than snow.
I think there'd be a lot of confusion, too, if we start changing it. There's already so much confusion this year.
There is a lot of confusion this year, for sure, Todd. Yeah, all great perspective.
I say we just go for it. It's Monday. It only gives us 2 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, just let it play out.
Okay, sounds great.
And then if I have a lot of extra treats, I'll divvy them up to you guys.
I heard somebody was going to put candy all in their trees. They were going to hang it from the trees, and the kids could come and pick it from the trees. That's kind of a funny idea. Well, okay, sounds good. So Halloween's staying on Thursday as is, and appreciate everybody's thoughts and feedback on that. Jeff, do you want to continue with any of your comments?
I have none other.
Oh, okay. All right. Any other questions for Jeff?
Jeff, I don't know if you already answered this. The courier drop box, is that operational now?
Yes. Village Hall has a courier drop box. It's near the front steps of the building, and it's accessible to the ADA parking space. And so it's basically the same concept as the traditional U.S. mailboxes on a corner. So it's large enough to take a larger bundle than our previous drop boxes. You could just fit an envelope or a sheet of paper in there. And Suzanne has reported to me that people have indeed already been using this, and it's only been in place since, I believe that was Thursday or Friday of last week. I think Thursday. And so people have been dropping off their and bills and so forth using the new Dropbox.
Yeah, it looks really nice.
Well, it beats the black trash can that we have been using.
For sure. And hey, Jeff, you've been working really hard on all of this CARES Act, and I just thought, I know that there was a lot of detail in the report that the council got to see, but I thought with so many community members on that maybe you'd like to highlight some of the things that we're using the CARES money for, because I just think it's super exciting, and so many of these things will really benefit the community and how we do business going forward.
Okay. Well, the first round of money, we got $11,770-some. And then the next time, we had an additional $6,500-some. And then tonight, we're going to... or an additional $26,000-some, which all totaled, we're going to have about $45,000 allocated to the village. That's available for the village to use. We're not required to use all of it, but it's limited on the purposes for which it can be used. And then there's a deadline of November 20th. So we've been focusing on the two allowable uses. There's one category called expenses to improve telework capabilities of public employees to enable compliance with COVID-19 public health precautions. And then another one is expenses for public safety measures undertaken in response to COVID-19. So we're looking at things that enable us to interact with the public and perform the village governmental functions, but keeping both the employees as well as the public safe. And so that Dropbox, for example, is what we believed would be a justifiable use, because we wanted to have a way for people to drop off these plan submissions and so forth without us always having to meet them face-to-face. So then we're also modernizing our IT system. We have laptops for the employees who are the office employees, so they could, once we get our IT system fully updated here, we'll actually be able to work remotely and access their files through the cloud. We're improving the audio system in our village council chamber, and the goal here is that it would enable us to have our council meetings with the council members all in one location at our village hall, but we'd still be able to live stream the meetings so that the public could still listen in via the internet. Our village hall doesn't have, even though there are all those pews and everything in there, when you start looking at the social distancing, there really isn't that much seating capacity for a crowd of people. But it would be nice to be more functional to have all of us in one place for our monthly meetings. So we're working on that. Of course, we're getting our share of face masks and sanitizer and so forth. And then another one that I'm looking at is there's a part of our wastewater plant that there's a potential problem for the workers there potentially being exposed to viruses and so forth in an airborne setting. So we're looking at what it would take to install a ventilation system for that part of the plant, and I believe it would fit within our budgeted amount. But all this, we have to have this money encumbered, whatever we're planning to use, by November 20th.
So, Jeff, you had mentioned that, you're hoping to be able to spend all of that. It may be good to ask council if they have ideas of things that perhaps we haven't thought of, even if there's things that perhaps we can do to help the village businesses, in various ways. We have to look and make sure that obviously they were all very COVID-related. That's the whole stipulation, which is obvious. But, if there are things that perhaps council has ideas on, we just want to make sure that we get that money spent. It would be a shame to have that money and not have it spent appropriately, of course. But, I thought council may have some other ideas as well. I'm so excited about the new Wi-Fi and everything in the council chambers and the sound system so that we can people can hear us much better. I think that'll be really nice.
It might be a benefit, Jeff, if you mail out to all of council what the requirements are for using the money, and then you never know, we might come up with an idea.
Sure.
Because November 20th is just around the bend, actually.
Right.
Obviously, I think the sinkhole was caused by COVID-19, and we can probably make that connection. But seriously, Kathy, that is a great idea. Send us those requirements, and we'll see if we can float some ideas to help spend that money by November 20th.
Yeah. if there's anybody on council as well, I'm happy to do the same. Perhaps we can reach out to some of our surrounding areas, Sunbury, Berkshire, Genoa, Trenton, Harlem, to see how everybody's getting some money. So we want to see how maybe they're spending it. Again, certainly not to be frivolous, but we just want to make sure because, you know, it's very unusual to get a windfall, and we are very gracious for that. So we want to make sure that it's used really to everybody's benefit. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Jeff. Anybody else before I move on to my report? All right.
Thanks, Jeff. Thank you.
All right. Just to reiterate, Trick or Treat is Thursday night, 6 to 8. Please put that out on your social media pages, anywhere you want. There does still seem to be people who are asking when Trick or Treat is. So it's up on the village site, as Jeff mentioned, and so we just really want to make sure to get that word out there. Lots of creative safe distancing activities, as I mentioned, going on in the surrounding communities at some of our local churches. I believe Journey is having a photo booth, so there's going to be some kind of neat things happening. I imagine weather permitting a bit now that I'm hearing that. I had not looked to see that weather. It's been kind of a fun month. I've had an opportunity to speak to a couple of the Girl Scout troops and Brownie troops. They have a democracy badge. So it's very timely for that to happen. So I've spoken to two third grade classes at Johnny Cakes and two Brownie classes or Brownie Scout troops. And then I have another troop scheduled for the 2nd of November. So what a neat badge that they have. And we actually had one night where the Brownies were in and they had their own election. Of which Girl Scout cookie was the best out of two of them. So, needless to say, Finn's won again. So, it was great. Spent a little time this last Sunday with a couple volunteers. Thank you, Kathy Krupa and Ken Gunn, for coming out and helping take down and sweep the beds and get the beds ready for winter on the village square. Always a very sad thing, especially as pretty as it's been and for as much fun as people have had on the square. We absolutely continue to keep our minds going with ways to keep that square just looking great because, as we know, that truly is the face of our village, and we want to make sure that it's just looking top-notch. So I still like to stress that there's people out there who would like to pull together and have a garden club of some kind who know plants well. We've got some people in the village, actually, who can think of one in particular who is a landscape architect, and he's more than happy to help us at no charge and get something designed should we need to or should somebody want to go down that road. So just lots of potential, and we know that underneath the tree, you know, we've lifted up some of those branches, and we just want to make sure that it's all looking nice all year round. So I want to thank again Kathy and Ken for helping bring the weeds out and clean those beds. I do something that you'll probably hear me do at each meeting here. I just think it's a nice idea so that everybody can kind of get a sense for where I am with salary. I know there's been a lot of questions about the mayor's salary. In this last meeting, I did discuss about how it can't come together and have had an opportunity to talk about that a little bit here on social media. But through year-to-date through October, my salary is $16,410. So if you amortize that out, I don't know if we're going to, well, we'll probably get close to 20, but by year end, but we're continuing to, you know, be very conscientious about what's on the timesheets and getting all of that, making sure that we've got everything well substantiated. So as it relates to the master plan and zoning code review, we're making some nice progress there. The last zoning meeting was quite informative, really pulling together all of the information from the docs that we went through on the Microsoft Teams as a group. And so that is in process, and we'll continue to evaluate some of the redlining that had been done, and so and kind of look at different areas that we want to perhaps tighten up or loosen up. Some good ideas came from some of the residents about some things to do, so we'll want to make sure to incorporate all those, so that's heavily in the work. Okay. Regarding development, it's still pretty status quo from the last month. Romanelli and Hughes is continuing to be an active participant on the Blackhawk golf course. There is still not a formal application that has been pulled. They are in the process of taking the proposed drawings and getting them ready to show to public small groups and then bring to planning and zoning to get initial feedback before they make that formal application. So it's been really nice. It's been quite the teamwork. I've got a member of council, member of zoning, Ken, Levi, several folks who have been a part of those meetings trying to get the proposal for the development in a format that will be a beginning to be a place to show the community, let me put it that way. So with local businesses, as you know, Santa Thurman's is busy renovating the building. They still are on target to open probably 1st of January. May surprise us in the end of December, but likely January. If you notice, they did get their building painted this weekend. So they're painting that. I think the shutters are going black. The building is white, and I think there's a red awning to come with that, and then a sign Santa Thurman's on the top. So that'll just continue to make our village look great. So you all heard from Dan and know what's going on in the HCR building, so that's exciting. And congratulations to Nancy for moving on to her next step of life and selling that building. She's been a long-time business in our village, and she certainly will be missed. So hopefully this is a really good next step for her in terms of next adventures. So our village is remaining strong. Suzanne and I had a chance to go over the budget this last week. That obviously are going to be some continued conversations that we'll get into more for our November meeting. But regardless of COVID, we've actually come out very, very good. So big kudos to Suzanne and the team, keeping us in budget, keeping us in line, and being able to do as much as we can during COVID. So that's been real good.
And Suzanne, any idea on when the budget, when the finance committee is going to meet to go over the budget?
I was going to say next week I'm going to, or this week I'll try to set up the meetings for next month for both personnel and finance committee, okay?
Okay, thank you.
This is the time of year where we look at that 2021 budget and we look at, you know, personnel increases, things like that, so or adjustments, and then look at the budget. So
typically the finance committee meets twice. Sees it like November, early November, and then sees it later in December.
Perfect. Okay. Well, great. Suzanne, would you like to go ahead with your report?
Sure. I will start with just some highlights. As Michelle and I were working through the budget and numbers, we discovered that in the last 2 years, we have increased sewer accounts by 100 customers. So that's part of the reason we are doing so well in spite of COVID. In general, Rita still has reported that most communities are down on their revenues 30%, and we are still over our expectations. So that's good on our part. We have tons of people coming into the community, and the Dropbox definitely has been used. I think I picked up 4 or 5 sets of plans since Thursday. Interest was, I know, not great, $168.97. If you all don't mind saving Ordinance 2020, that way we can save 3 or 4 trees so I don't have to copy it again. Just save that one from your packet. We had 10 new residents this month, and then after I did the report, 2 more new residents called in. We had 2 cemetery lot sales. It's been fun talking with Jody and helping her with the new position. I also completed the MORPC salary survey the other day. And just today we ordered, through the CARES Act, resealable plastic bags that have handles on them so I can drop them at your door or on your mailbox, even if it's raining, the plastic bags seal. And then if you can drop them back off at the drop box sometime during the month, that would be great. And then if you look at the 2020 budget versus actual, you can see We have not yet received our second half property taxes. I believe those are coming at the end of this month, but if they say they're coming on the 30th, they will come on the 30th. So those did not get on this report, but we are still overall up $16,800, which is pretty darn good.
There is. Thanks for keeping us in line.
Suzanne, when you say when you say 10 new residents, you mean 10 new homes?
10 new homes, yes, 10 new homes. So that would probably, that equals
30 people?
At least, yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great, any other questions for Suzanne? All right, I will, if I can get a motion to approve the financial statements, unless there's any other questions regarding those.
I'll make that motion.
Kathy, thank you. And a second?
A second.
Oh, thank you, Eric. Should get used to that deep voice. All right, thank you. And roll call vote, please.
Okay, Kathy?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
And Mike?
Yes.
All right, motion has approved. Our motion has passed to approve the financial statements. All right. And then can I get a motion to pay the invoices for September?
That was all my noble. I'm sorry about that.
Sorry.
Yes, they left over. I'll make that motion as well.
Yes.
Kathy. And Eric.
Yes.
And roll call.
All right.
I have a question.
I'm sorry.
Jill, we had talked about some adjustments in your timesheet.
That's correct.
Was any of that done?
Yes, I actually, Suzanne had already cut the check for my salary this morning before you and I spoke, and so I had forgotten to put in time that Suzanne and I did on the budget, and I just put no charge for that. No, don't worry about that.
And then did you put in the Sunday hours that you...
I did not. Yeah, I did not put in the Sunday hours, so I'll go back and put those in just as a matter of no charge.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Kathy?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
And Todd?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. The motion has passed for the payment of the invoices for October. All right. And your code compliance report, the wastewater treatment, and the maintenance report are all in your packets. Does anybody have any questions there or anything for Jeff? Okay. All right, great. Well, I'm going to go ahead and start our resolutions, and most of these are going to be read as an emergency this evening simply because they are money exchange, and if you recall, I just like to let people know we tend to read things as an emergency instead of having three readings when we have to take care of something financially, and that is immediate. So we either need to transfer funds or something needs to be paid immediately. So resolution number 2020-26 is the first reading read as an emergency, a resolution transferring funds in the amount of $150 from other contractual services, 5201-241-399 to OPRS account number 5201-710-211 and declaring an emergency. So if I could get a motion to read this as an emergency.
I'll make a motion to suspend the rules.
Thank you. That was Todd as a second. Thank you. And a roll call vote.
Okay, Kathy.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
And Mike.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. The motion to suspend the rules has been accepted. And now if we want to make a motion to read this, or to accept, the resolution transferring funds to the amount of $150 for contractual services.
I will move approval of the resolution 2020-26 as an emergency.
Okay. Thank you.
A second, Dick.
And that's Eric.
Yes.
Okay. And roll call, please. Mike.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
David.
Yes.
And Kathy.
Yes.
Motion has been approved, both to be a writ of emergency and to suspend the rules. So, okay. And resolution number 2020-27, first reading as an emergency, a resolution accepting the amounts and rates as determined by the Budget Commission and authorizing the necessary tax levies and certifying them to the county auditor and declaring an emergency. I can get a motion to suspend the rules.
Why are we suspending the rules on this one?
Because I actually missed that it was supposed to be read last month, and it was delayed due to COVID, but it is due in the middle of next month.
Okay, that's fine. I just wasn't clear on that. So I can make a motion to suspend the rules.
Thank you, Kathy. And a second, please.
I'll second that.
Thank you, David. And roll call vote, please. Kathy?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
And Mike?
Yes.
Thank you. All right, the motion is passed to suspend the rules, except for resolution number 2020-27. If anybody would like me to read the rest of that, I'm happy to do so. I'm just trying to shorten it up a little bit, but happy to read that. Now if I could get a motion to read this as an emergency, resolution 2020-27.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
On Suzanne, on can you explain Schedule A?
Schedule A.
Summary of amounts required from general property tax approved by Budget Commission and County Auditor's estimate tax rates.
These are the numbers that the county auditor sends to us. And so I just attached this because it goes with the resolution.
Right, but in Schedule A, municipal use is zero. There's nothing in that column.
I'm trying to see where you're coming from. Yeah. So we pulled this up
right. Then column for municipal use, Village of Galena, fiscal year 2021. There's nothing there.
But if you look, if you look back at the official certificate of estimated resources, do you see that one?
Yes, yes.
That gives the balance of the funds, right? And then if you if you look over there, it's supposed to, that gives the amount levied. So the final column amount, county auditor's estimate of tax rate to be levied, and then budget year derived from levies outside of the 10 mil limitation, and budget year amount approved by the Budget Commission inside of the 10 mils. So we can only do 10 mils without it going, being voted on.
Okay.
And so out of that, approved by the Budget Commission from the general fund, that should correspond with the general fund on the page before. As a percentage.
Okay, so it's identifying the amounts
over the 10 mil then, right?
Budget, yeah, approved. Inside of the 10 mil and outside of the 10 mil.
Yeah.
So all in total, we get... Sorry, I'm talking back and forth between the sheets here. All in total, we get like $100,000 from property taxes. So if you look at that back sheet, the schedule. That's roughly 100. It's like 110,000 for 50 and 60.
Can you hear me, Dave? Ken, the 60,000 is the, I'm sure that's the operating levy.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's outside the 10 mil limitation, so it was voted on. And so it's, I forget, it's 2 or 3 mils. I think it expires in a year. So that's what the 60,000 is. And then the other part is the to be generated based upon the rates that they've approved.
Does that help, David?
Well, I understand the estimated resources. That makes sense to me. What doesn't make any sense is the Schedule A, you know, where it looks like we're getting nothing, and it's all going to the county.
Well,
it's because it says it was the amount requested is zero because they've already approved something. So I think they just left that blank for that reason.
Hmm.
And it's going to change again once the election is over. There'll be another modification because of the tax rates, et cetera, with the school board and, you know,
right.
The voted millage.
Yeah, okay.
All righty. Are we ready to make a motion to read this as an emergency?
I'll make a motion to accept Resolution 2020-27 as an emergency.
Okay, thank you. In a second. Bueller?
I said I would second that.
Sorry, thank you, Kathy. Can a roll call vote, please?
Mike?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
David?
Yeah.
Kathy?
Yes.
Great. Resolution number 2020-27 has been approved as an emergency. Thank you. Resolution number 2020-28, first reading as an emergency. A resolution authorizing an increase in the budget in the amount of $26,738.52, CARES funding, and authorizing disbursement of these funds for the purpose of paying expenses related to the coronavirus and declaring an emergency. May I get a motion to suspend the rules?
I'll make that motion.
Thank you, David. And a second, please.
Second.
Is that you, Eric?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. And roll call vote, please.
Kathy?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Great. Thank you. The motion passed for resolution number 2020-28 to be read as an emergency. This is where we're going to have some additional conversation regarding the right-of-ways and Eric Sandy.
Oh, wait. We need to adopt that one.
We need to adopt it.
Oh, gosh. I'm sorry, guys. All right. Motion to adopt.
I'll make a motion to adopt this as being 2020-28 as an emergency.
Second.
Thank you.
Yes.
Mike?
Yes.
Todd?
Yes.
Eric?
Yes.
David?
Yes.
Kathy?
Yes.
All right. Resolution 2028 has been adopted to be read as an emergency. And we'll move on to ordinance number 2020-10, first reading emergency and ordinance regulating the use or occupation of all public rights of way in the Village of Galena, the issuance of the right-of-way permits to persons for such use or occupancy, and to set forth the policies of the village related to its public rights of way and declaring an emergency. So this is, we will be just having the first reading this evening. And Eric Sandin is here for any questions that you may have.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, Council. Just to recap quickly what this is, it allows the village to recover expenses of utility companies that occupy the public right-of-way. And to the expenses can be for the maintenance and management of the public ways for the particular use. Once this is adopted, and it has emergency language for after the third reading, so it will go into effect immediately and not have to wait 30 days. We'd like to get it done here by the end of the year, so then we can start working on the recovery for 2020, and then we'll invoice that next year to and recover this year's expenses. I have had conversations with Columbia Gas in the last 2 weeks. They have some, they're going to get some comments and some things that they would like to see changed. I have worked with other communities on this, and Columbia Gas always wants, always asks for a lot of changes, particularly things that don't apply to them. But the idea of the whole right-of-way ordinance is it's got to be equal and equitable to everybody that's in the right-of-way. So there's some things apply to overhead or aerial utilities that don't apply to underground. There's stuff that applies to underground that doesn't apply to aerial. I anticipate seeing some comments from them either this week or next week. And once I get those, I'll draft a reply and send it over to the mayor and Jeff and see how you guys want to handle it. I've also talked to Charter this week, and they would like to encourage council to, while they're doing the right-of-way, to also do a video service provider ordinance. It's a little different than what they would still be governed by the right-of-way ordinance, but they only are required to pay one fee, either the right-of-way fee or the registration fee or the VSP fee. And the VSP fee can set from anywhere from 0 to 5%, and it's based on their total revenue for video services. Yeah, I can tell you Charter likes doing that because it's easier for them to calculate as opposed to waiting for an invoice from the village based on our recovery expenses. They'll just send the check every quarter to you. But they are allowed to recover that cost from your residents. Whatever rate you set from 0 to 5%. And what they're telling me right now is you have a zero rate VSP that they would be able to recover that just on video services, not on internet or phone or anything like that, but just on video services that, residents have. And if that's the direction you guys want me to go, I can facilitate that for you, get you an ordinance together. And I've also asked Charter to provide me with what a 1% VST would generate for the village. And then, you know, we can just extrapolate that up and down. You know, if you want to do less than 1% or more than 1%. Most communities that have this, 7 to 5%, and collect the money. But, again, you don't have to. The last community I worked with that didn't have one was New Concord. And within a year of the right-of-way, passing the right-of-way ordinance, they did go ahead and do a VSP ordinance. But that really doesn't have anything to do with the right-of-way ordinance, except that Charter would rather calculate their own payments to you than worry about the recovery portion of the right-of-way ordinance.
Hey, Eric, can you, for the benefit of the community and maybe for some of our newer council members, this is just such a neat program, and I was just wondering if you could kind of in a nutshell explain what it is, why we do it, and what we get from it, because this is something that really is extremely innovative, and I'm just thrilled that we're looking at this as a village and that we're voting on this. So if you could take just a couple minutes to do that, I think that would help people out, because it's very beneficial for the village.
Yeah, prior to 2010 or so, villages could enter into franchise agreements with utility companies. You know, with cable, electric, gas, and then obviously you have your own utility, water and sewer. But and those utilities would pay a franchise fee for using the public right of way. Well, they lobbied the state legislature to do away with that, basically to make statewide franchises. So they wouldn't have to make individual franchise agreements with each individual municipality. And in turn, they made it kind of hard for you to recover any expenses. Instead of it being a budgetary program where you say, well, I need $10,000 to provide maintenance and management of the right-of-ways next year, it's a recovery program. So you have to actually spend the money before you can recover it. And there's certain things that can be recovered, and that list seems to change every year when the utility companies decide to file a complaint with the PUCO. But you can see 15 to $20,000 a year in recoverable expenses just based on maintenance and management of the right of way. So it's a recovery program that benefits the users of the right of way. So it benefits utilities. Right now, the utilities are using the municipal right of ways and not paying anything for it. So they get they're getting a benefit from expensive public taxpayer dollars for commercial businesses. And this is a way then to recover that. And basically, this becomes a double recovery because you're spending that money now. You're spending it either out of the general fund, out of street maintenance repair, out of water, sewer. You know, you're spending this money now, and you're not getting anything back for it. So in the future, not only will you not have to spend money out of those particular funds, so you'll see a windfall in those particular funds, but you'll have another special revenue fund that is generating it, that has its own revenue stream, which is the utility companies.
Thank you, Eric. So, for example, keeping it extremely, extremely simple, Eric has all the nuances in between, but for example, we don't think much of, let's say, an AEP truck coming in on Walnut Street, and they just come in and they have some work to do, and they block off the road, and we just have to kind of work with that. Well, they can't do that anymore. They have to, number one, pay us for the time that they're there, and then secondly, they have to notify us and let us know that the road's going to be closed. So I thought those types, I mean, again, that's extremely simple and just one example of many, many, many of an opportunity to recoup some of these costs. So I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this goes about. I mean, Eric, you have really taken kind of a nuance of a newer ORC code, is that correct? And you've been able to really understand that where a lot of people don't and have that service.
Yeah, it's been around a while. They just made it so hard that villages can't really do it. There's only a couple other companies that assist villages in setting this up. Both of them are law firms, and they charge considerably more. They mostly work with cities because that's what the biggest return is. You know, cities with the you know, large driveways and stuff like that, they can, there's much more money to be made there. But, you know, $15,000 for you guys, it's a lot of money. $15,000 for all of my clients is a lot of money. So, you know, they can recover that, you know, look to recover that easily within a year.
Yeah. Well, thank you, fellow mayor of Lysopolis. I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
I appreciate that. So I just want to open it up for council to ask any questions. And thank you for that recap, Eric.
Eric, David Simmons here. Has Galena's right-of-ways been inventoried and mapped? I mean, do we know what specific areas we're talking about?
Yeah, well, two things. First of all, during the registration process, each utility is required to say how much of the right-of-way they encumber.
Oh.
But it's like that old trust to verify. I've already done it for you guys. I know how much right-of-way you have. I've got an estimate already on all the utilities there in town. Sometimes I'm surprised by what they report. Even though I do it as well, we go on what the utility companies declare. So if it's significantly less than what I estimate or what I've found, then then I'll work with them on it. If it's significantly more, I've worked with them on that too, you know, to make sure that we understand and get the mileage right.
So is your company proposing to do the certificates and the permits then?
I can do as much or as little as you guys want me to do. For some communities, I do all the construction permits. The construction permits come to me first. I review them, make sure they're complete, and send them to the village administrator or the mayor for the actual hard copy permit to be signed, and then invoice at the end of the year, invoice for all the permits that have gone out. I do the invoicing for the annual registration fees, and then I'm available if you guys have any questions or concerns about utilities operating in the right of way. I've got the points of contact for just about everybody. The one difference that you guys have that I haven't worked with before is Delco, but everybody else, I've got points of contact with and.
You work with AEP and Spectrum?
Oh yeah, AEP. I think you guys are Frontier, right? Your phone company.
Unless that's something different, if they call it something different.
Let me look here real quick.
Because as you're well aware, we've had some situations with significant power outages and internet outages, and we have been at the last council meeting, trying to discuss better ways, and we understand, that some of these grids are not going to be updated for a couple of years, and as we look to grow and develop our area, it's going to be important that those utilities keep up with us. So, it is a significant topic of conversation in the village is AEP outages and Spectrum outages, internet.
And then, Eric, as I recall, when you first came to council and we were talking about this, your fees are then reimbursable as well.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anybody else have any other questions for Eric?
You guys are CenturyLink.
CenturyLink, okay.
Yeah.
They all have cell phones on the, I don't have a landline. Took me a minute to think about my name.
Okay. Well, so this one doesn't normally affect cell phones, but cell phone service, but it does have a section in it for the 5G small cells. Mm-hmm. And it sets the groundwork for the regulation. And unfortunately, municipal regulation for the microcells or small cell sites is extremely limited. The state took a lot of that power away from municipalities, but what authority is left is in this ordinance, and the ordinance also allows for similar to an architectural review board, which is in the ordinance, I think it's called the design standards board, which will where you can apply some design standards to these microcells. And if you're not familiar with what those are, they can put those up on electrical poles. They're allowed to put them up anywhere in the right of way. They're anywhere from they can be from I think around 50 feet to over 100 feet. They can have solar on them, or they'll have an electrical drop. And in theory, I'm only working in one community right now where they've put one up, that's up in Johnstown. But to get the 5G microcell coverage, they're looking at having them every 300 to 500 feet in your community. And this gives you some ability to regulate that, you know, get them off the main street, you know, making them disguise them, you know, so they don't probably look like small cell phone towers. You know, they'll want to put them in your housing subdivisions. One of the things that you might talk to some of your homeowners associations about is creating some placement rules. While it might not stand up in court, it'll at least give the homeowners when they come to complain because a new pole's going up right in front of their house. And they'll have signs at about 6 foot that says that the FCC, an FCC warning that it's electromagnetic radiation. And while, you know, some people say it's okay, some people say it might be an issue, and seeing a warning like that tends to bring people to meetings.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And will they pay anybody to put those up? I mean, or is that a right away eminent domain type of thing?
No, the Ohio Revised Code limits the fee that you can charge to $250 per site. So they won't have to pay your registration fee, but they have to pay an individual fee that's set by the Ohio Revised Code, and the ordinance mirrors that.
Hmm.
Do they have to notify us up front that they're going to be doing that?
Yeah, they'll still have the full permits.
Okay.
All right. Oh, I'm sure that will garner more conversation at a later time.
Yeah, I would just ask council, do you have another meeting this month?
Not this month.
Okay. Yeah, do your second reading in November, and then we'll see what the comments from Columbia Gas and Charter are, and if you guys can maybe put some thought, or if you have any other questions about moving forward with the VSP ordinance, and maybe discuss that at the next meeting, and then in December, hopefully, we'll have all the updated language, anything that we're willing to live with that Columbia Gas wants to change, and get the ordinance done by the end of the year.
Thanks for your work on that. We appreciate it. Thank you. Anyone else?
Thanks, Larry.
Thank you very much. All right. We'll move into reports here. Delaware County Regional Planning Commission report. Not a lot to report on that. Should anybody ever want to join me on that, happy to have you do that. They tend to go through a lot of permits and for all of Delaware County for various developments that are going up. They can be a single family home, just one, or it can be a development, small, large. They get talked about at the Delaware County Regional Commission report, so it's pretty individual. Ruben's not with us this evening. Kathy, do you have anything you'd like to say about the Planning and Zoning Commission?
You touched on it a little bit, but basically we reviewed the Miller Farm subdivision phase one, and we'll be talking about it again in the next meeting.
Yep. Okay, great. As far as MORPC is, I'll just touch on a couple things. There is a summit on sustainability on October 22nd. Well, there was. So deadly. It was just a little bit about what they're doing in terms of overall sustainability. They had a couple of guest speakers, and so was something I was not able to attend on that. They also are having a lot of conversations on broadband access pilot program, and really trying to bring access to over 10,000 students to stay connected with internet hotspots, and so that is a really big initiative of theirs, and really interesting to watch. Franklin Rose spoke at our meeting, just talking about, the votes and how safe it is. And this was an interesting tidbit for me. I know that David has been a longtime poll worker, and this will be my first year of being a poll worker, but they need over 55,000 poll workers. So, and in this time of COVID, I know it's been a little bit hard, but I just never knew that the number was so high. So that was kind of interesting. They continue to do work in the regional housing strategy and having additional conversation regarding that. They have a lot of initiatives going on, more to do with Ohio Clean Conservation. They were doing the salary and fringe benefit survey that Suzanne was speaking of. They continue to have the survey out for the bikes and trails. Hopefully had a chance to look at that real quickly. We are doing very well on the census, and so that will be something that we'll probably start to hear some results from that over the next several months. Events committee, Kathy? Anything that you want to report?
Something went crazy on the Zoom, and it was talking about your Zoom, but Halloween on Thursday, that's about it.
Yep. And then, as we know, Christmas tree lighting still a go unless something crazy happens, but we're counting on that.
I was going to raise that point. That would be December 6th, right?
Right.
And we need to make sure we've talked with, I think it was Adam's Tree that has been putting the lights on.
Mm-hmm.
And the last couple of years, they've done such a great job. I'm hoping that we've been talking to them. I mean, I haven't heard anything said about it, so I wanted to raise that question.
Thank you. Yeah, Suzanne and I just touched on that the other day. And we talked about ornaments as well, because we really want to try to do as much as we can that's a little bit extra special, since we haven't had, much this year because of COVID. So anything that we can do will be great.
Yeah, so, we need to be talking to Kathy, have you talked with Journey at all about their sound equipment?
Journey, yeah, I think last meeting I had mentioned, Journey was talking about doing a nativity scene on their grass up in front of their area.
Right.
And like a half hour, I'll pull my nose, but like a half hour before the tree lighting. But it'll all be outside.
Right, but they had also provided the sound equipment that we used last
week. Oh, no, I was not aware.
So, yeah, if you talk to them again, please get those details worked out.
Now, with the CARES Act, we're not getting the new sound system? That
See, I couldn't figure a way to justify that. I mean, it's an outside... yeah, I think we ought to be getting a portable sound system, but I don't see how you could spend CARES money on it.
If you can't have an event inside and you're forced to have it outside, you have to have a way to communicate to your people. You're increasing the distance between people at your event, and it's the safety issue by not having everyone inside on top of each other. You can make a pretty strong argument, I think, for that.
Well, I see your point, but, you know, this has always been an outdoor event. It's not like it's being forced out.
But I think this year we're going to have, you know, people further apart, right, Dave?
Sure.
We're gonna want people, and there has been trouble hearing in the past, I know.
Todd and I were on the other side of the tree.
Yeah, no, and that was an issue. They just didn't have the sound turned up high enough. You know, the guy that was adjusting the sound was standing right in front of me when he did that. So he should have been standing on the other side of the square, but he wasn't. So I think it's possible to do. But, you know, I spoke in Sydney last weekend, and they had a great portable system. And I took a picture of the system so I could bring that information home. And so if you think we can spend some money that way, as Eric suggests, then I'll contact them and see if we can get something going and spend some of that more of that CARES money.
Yeah, I was thinking that was part of the CARES money that we were going to spend on a sound system.
That was all inside.
Sure, I understand.
Yeah.
But I back Eric. I'll second Eric.
Yeah, is that how much was that? Did you get an estimate?
I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, but I can do that.
I just thought it would be nice maybe this year, you know, we can have more of an effort with the vault, you know, having some type of an outside, whether it's hot chocolate or some kind of little stand, maybe the diner would like to do something. We can see, you know, if Set of Thurman happens to be in a place where they want to have something outside, or we want to have a food truck outside, just something a little bit more on the square for that evening might be a nice treat.
Yeah.
Well, and when I was looking at the budget, of course, we haven't spent any money on any of these types of things. You know, when I was looking at the budget, I thought maybe we could take some money and buy something that we could hand out to all the children, just some thought.
Nice thought. Yeah.
What's our liability for that event? I mean, by the time, you know, December rolls around, we've got people walking all over the square. And...
Yeah.
Ken, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think that's the first thing we'll do is when we have that scheduled, we'll let our insurance carrier know what we plan and when and make sure that they're on the risk. But I think we've done that in the past, and there hasn't been any problems.
Yeah.
So, Dave, let me know if we still have to talk to Journey.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Because I did not know they provided it.
Yeah.
All right.
And as soon as we have a date locked in, let me know, and I'll check with them. And
It's December 6th.
It's December 6th.
Yeah.
And if appropriate, you know, as we have done for Summerfest in the past, maybe the easy answer is if we're not covered under the prime policy to buy an event policy for a day, it's really cheap. I'll look into that.
Okay.
The other thing that, now this is going out of the box a little bit, and this is due to needing safe distance, is we may want to consider closing off a couple roads. So if people need to be more out in the street a bit, because I was kind of thinking, boy, it would be really neat if Journey had their nativity scene on the square, kind of right in front of the tree, and, you know, people are usually in a big circle kind of on that surrounding area, but if we had to go out even further, just kind of spitballing here, see if there's some ideas that we might want to consider.
I like the idea of the roads. Because in the past, just walking from Journey over, I know there's been cars coming down, and it's been kind of dangerous, but Mm-hmm. As far as the nativity, I would recommend keeping it on their own property.
Okay.
Where it would be. And then, but I like the idea in the rose. That might be something we end up doing, you know, in the future as well.
Mm-hmm. Because, yeah, I mean, if there's a food truck, if there's some types of activities or something that the businesses want to sponsor, you know, kind of keeps that area all safe. Okay, great. Is there any other business? Anyone? All right, well, this evening we don't have the need for an executive session, so I would like to get a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
All right, David, in a second.
Second.
All right, it was a Tom and an Eric. So, then we'll call vote. Okay. And we'll call vote.
This is Kathy.
I got you. Okay, Kathy says yes. David.
Yes.
Todd.
Yes.
Eric.
Yes.
Mike.
I guess. It was a lot of fun.
Yes.
I want to keep it going.
It'll be plenty of fun.
I'll bet.
All right, I think we got everybody, and the motion is passed to adjourn our meeting to 9.
Check on Ruben for us and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, sure will. Yeah, I've been in touch with them today, so keep them in your prayers. All right, thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful night.
Thank you, everybody.
Nice meeting.
Great first meeting, Mike.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.